Anybody ready to be at church today? Come on.
Listen, I'm ready to teach today, and I hope you're ready to receive today. And if this is your first time, we're so glad that you're here checking out this place. And we have this three-week challenge because it's hard to figure out this whole thing if you just come once. And so come on back over the next 3 weeks. And you've definitely caught us on a good week because we kick off this new series. But I got to just be upfront with you. This message is going to step on some of your toes, okay? And I just want to make sure you guys can handle it. If you can handle it, say, I can handle it. Okay, just remember, you asked for it, okay? You asked for it. Okay, so here we go. We are in this series called Travel Light, and the whole premise, the whole theme of this series is this idea of how this world is not our home. Would you say that with me? This world is not our home. But how easy is it for us to make it feel like it's our home? And how easy is it for us to get just weighed down by the junk, by the hurt, by the pain, by the discontentment that this world brings? And so one of the ways to help us get rid of that, to help us remember that this world is not our home, is to let go of some stuff. And it's perfect timing because Frozen 2 just came out, right? And so Let It Go. Just when you thought the song was over, it's back with a vengeance, right? And so we're going to let it go over the next few weeks. We're going to be talking about letting go of bitterness. We're going to be talking about letting go of distractions. We're going to be talking about letting go of the past. We're also going to be talking about letting go of control. So all you control freaks, I'm not going to tell you which week that is, okay? So I know that's going to get you mad, but maybe you need to miss that week. I don't know. Anyways, but today we're going to talk about the idea of letting go of stuff. Letting go of the stuff that weighs us down. Isn't it amazing how much stuff we accumulate? It's just ridiculous. It's just unbelievable how much stuff that we have. And so here's the theme. Here's what I want us to leave with. Here's what I want us to chew on all week. Here's what I want us to just put into our minds. This truth right here is this. Would you guys just, it's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. Okay, I want you guys to repeat after me. It's better to have less. I need a little more from you guys today, okay? I'm going to need your help, okay? It's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. That's so true. It's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. However, culture says the complete opposite, right? More, more, more. What you don't have is actually what you need to make you feel important and significant. This has happened all the way back from the beginning of time, all the way back from Adam and Eve to the first creation of the world. God gave them so much blessing, gave them one another, gave them the garden, gave them everything that they had. But then the great deceiver, the great liar said, well, why can't you have that? That's what you really need. You need that. And so that lie has been just going and going and going all the way to us that what you don't have is what you actually need to feel significant, to feel purpose, to feel value, to give you your purpose. And so this lie of more is always better. More, more, more is the lie that keeps coming into us. We believe the lie of that if you have $1, it's better to have two. We believe the lie that if you have one car, it's better to have two cars. If you get one vacation, it's better to have two vacations. If you get one kid, four is more than enough. It's just sometimes the analogy doesn't work, but you know what I mean, okay? So today, what I want us to dive into is this idea of like, more isn't better. More isn't better. And that's what we're going to kind of wrap our minds around. But before we do, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for me, and then we'll dive in. Father, thank you so much for all that you give us. It's so much if we stop and think about it as we count our blessings even going into this week of Thanksgiving, God. You know, it's just amazing how much we have. Whether we have a relationship with God or not, all of us can just say, man, we've been just blessed. And so, thank you. Father, I just ask that you would help us to receive what we need to receive to help lighten our load, to help travel lighter as we go into this Christmas season and go into 2020. Father, control my mind, control my tongue as I communicate. May you be pleased, and I pray this in the power of your son's name, Jesus, amen, amen. So, growing up, I never really liked jelly beans, okay? Just wasn't a jelly bean guy. Easter would come, and I'd be like, just give me the chocolate. But then, I was introduced to the Jelly Belly. Can I get an amen? I mean, the Jelly Belly just really just radically changed my perspective of jelly beans. And I just couldn't, it was just unbelievable. So then, I'll never forget, I was on this junior high trip with my school. And I don't remember where we went, but I do remember we went into one of these massive candy stores. And at this time, I've never seen a candy store like this, and now we see them all around. But at this time, it was my first time seeing Jelly Bellies on display by the flavor. Because if you're like me, when you get a package of Jelly Bellies, I stay away from the black licorice. Have we got any black licorice fans? Like, my wife loves black licorice, and I can't stand it. Or the popcorn. Ugh. Two people today tell me they love the popcorn. And what's tough for me is I love the pina colada, and they're very similar. And so when you think you're going for the pina colada, you get the popcorn. And it phases me. So I walk into this place, and I see just a container of all pina coladas. It was like heaven. So I go, and I just get one package. I literally fill up a bag like this, no joke, of Jelly Bellies. And I'm just all afternoon, walked out of there $400 for my, just kidding. But those candy stores, don't they get you? I mean, my wife goes in there all the time. She loves it. I'm like, what the heck is going on with this price? Anyways, that I wasn't going to say that, but I did. The Jelly Bellies, I'm eating them all afternoon, all evening. We get into the hotel room. I got like four of the roommate guys with me, junior hires, so it's like Mountain Dew and, you know, all-nighter kind of stuff. But then all of a sudden it hit me. The Jelly Bellies started to make the belly a little swelly. And not only that, the room a little smelly, if you know what I mean. And the poor guys were just so mad at me all night. It was just the worst night. It kept me up all night because I had too much of the Jelly Bellies, because more is not always better. I just overdid it on the Jelly Bellies. Keeping with this analogy, one of the wisest men that lived, Solomon, said this in the ancient scripture of Ecclesiastes. He says this. Would you guys say this word with me? Better. Say it. Better. Better one handful. He says, better to have one handful with tranquility than to have two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Better to have one handful than two handfuls of stuff and more, more, more. In other words, your life, my life, is way too valuable. Your calling is way too great. Your God is way too good to waste it on stuff that is just going to end up being thrown away or burned up. Jesus actually warned us of this. He talked about two sons that just earned their inheritance. And everyone say this word with me. Watch out. Watch out, he says. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, because it's going to come at you at all different angles. So be prepared. Be on guard. Watch out. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Life does not consist of an abundance of possessions. In other words, reminding us that, hey, you are not what you own. You are not what you wear. You are not what you drive. You are not where you live. You are more than that. You have so much more significance. But the lie, right? Well, if I don't have that and I need that, that's what makes me more significant. What I don't have is actually what's going to bring me popularity or bring me purpose or bring me the value, and so on and so on. But the question is, I just want to throw out there, is what if the stuff that we accumulate, what if the stuff you have is actually robbing you of the life you want? Think of that for yourself. Ask yourself that question. Internalize that. What if the stuff that you have is robbing you of the life that you want? And so this time of year, all of us can get a little crazy. And we start buying a lot of junk. Start buying a lot of stuff for people, for our kids. And then our kids, they open up the box and they're more excited about the box than the actual toy. And you're like, what the heck? I just spent. And so as we head into this Christmas season, as we head into 2020, what would it look like for us to be living lives that are more one handful living, to live a one handful life instead of a two handful life, and keeping that perspective that it's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. So here's three things that will help us live a more one handful life. The first thing we got to do is we got to throw out. We got to throw it out. Jen and I, as you know, we've been preparing for this series, and Jen is just decluttering all of our stuff, and literally, I think our neighbors think we're nuts, because every week by the curb, it's like Mount Everest out there. It's like, what in the world is going on in the Whitaker household? I mean, and not only is it's not just decluttering, It's de-owning and some of the things we realize people don't want, and it's just literally junk we've accumulated. We're just literally being freed from all of the stuff. Greg Rochelle, pastor of Life Church in Oklahoma, I love how he said this, because it's not just about decluttering, it's about de-owning. He says this, owning less is way better than organizing more. I love that. Owning less is way better than organizing more. When Jesus walked this planet, he came across a very wealthy person, a very rich person who had a lot of stuff. And he said something to him that he only said to him and not to anyone else. He said, look it, you've got way too much stuff. And he basically told me, he said, look it, you need to sell everything you have and you need to start storing up treasures in heaven. And you got to let go of the stuff. It's weighing you down. It's overwhelming you. It's ruling you. And the response from this rich guy, this rich young ruler, he says this, when the young man heard this, it says that he went away sad because he had such great wealth. Now listen, wealth isn't bad. Having stuff is okay. Having nice things is not a bad thing. We all have nice things. It's nothing to be ashamed about. The problem is when the stuff owns you instead of you owning the stuff. The problem is when we let the stuff fulfill a need instead of letting God fulfill that need. But why is it that it's so hard for us to let go, to throw out some of our stuff? Why is it that some of you still have VHS tapes in your home right now? What are we doing? You think it's coming back? It ain't coming back. Why is it that some of you have pants in your closet all the way back from your college years thinking you're going to fit into them again or that they're going to come back in style? Guilty. Guilty. It's going to get real right now, okay? This is actually really tough for me right now. Okay, so in my hands are custom-made. I used to travel a lot in my band to Asia, and these are custom-made, 32-inch waist at that time, custom-made, because you couldn't get these unless you buy girl jeans, okay? Custom-made with a 24-inch bottom opening bell bottom with a tight at the knee vibe. Custom eagle embroidered right on there, made just for me. Look at them. Some of you are like, those look like clown pants. They're not. I look so cool in these. I swore I would never wear skinny jeans. But I need to practice what I preach. And so today, right now in this moment, I'm going to let go. And so there's two options here. One option is someone is going to go and grab these and throw them in that dumpster over there. Or someone who actually thinks that they would actually wear these. And I can bless you with these. These are yours. So, going once. Going twice? This is embarrassing. Okay, I guess they're going to the landfill. Okay, so I need someone box. Okay, come and grab them for me. I can't believe I'm doing, dude. I'm throwing them out. All right, box, take them for me.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Dude. Let it go. Let it go. Nice shot, box. Why is it so hard to let go of stuff? Two reasons. Fear. Fear we might need it. Fear it's going to come back in style. Fear that maybe our kids will want it. Fear of just, what if I'm going to need it again? And so we have a real opportunity when we throw out, because it actually is an opportunity for us to build our faith. To literally let go of something and to trust God that if I needed something like that in the future, he's going to provide it for me. And so one of the reasons why we don't let go is because of fear. It's because of fear. Another reason why we don't throw out is sentimental reasons. Hence, my Korean custom-made bell-bottoms that I just threw, and I can't believe I still threw them in the garbage. You guys got to hold me accountable because I might try to get, just kidding, I won't. They're gone. They're gone. But why is it that you still have a bunch of trophies from high school? How many drawings that your kids drew for you are you going to keep? Some of you which I don't understand, still keep your kids' teeth that they've lost and their toenails, I've heard people. Like, what is going, like, what is wrong? Like, I don't, it's time to move on. But there's a sentimental thing there. We don't want to let it go because it's sentimental. Our stuff's sentimental. It means a lot. And so we have to literally practice the idea of saying, okay, thank you, God, for this item, for this treasure, and for what it did for me to my heart in the past. But now it's time for me to let it go, and I either bless it to someone else or I throw it in the trash and it lays in the beautiful landfill. But it's not always easier said than it. It's funny, when I was writing this talk, I was in my basement and I was at this section, and all of a sudden I hear my father-in-law, my dad comes in the house, and he's got a bag full of tools. And my dad is like Mr. Fix-It. I mean, he can like build cars, built his house. I mean, he can do anything. And then, you know, his daughter marries his son-in-law, who's definitely not Mr. Fix-It, if you know what I mean. And so we all have our gifts. We all have our gifts, okay? And so he comes in with his bag full of tools. And, you know, these are special tools. These, some of these tools his father gave to him, and he's been using for years. And he was going through those tools. He's like, you know, I know my son-in-law needs some tools for around the house to help him do the things that he's doing. And so here you go, son. I'm going to bless you with these tools. I was like, Dad, that was, he let go of the stuff. Now, I don't want to give him too much of the benefit of the doubt, because he's probably thinking, if I give him more tools, then maybe they'll stop calling me to have me fix the stuff, okay? But hey, he's here today. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, Dad. I love you. But why is it so hard to let go? Because of fear and sentimental. But one of the ways to help us live a one handful life is to throw out. It is better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. Next, to live a one handful life is that we've got to buy less. Some of you are like, Travis, it's too late. I already destroyed my Christmas shopping like no other, all glory to God, okay? I mean, it's too late. 62% of Americans admit that they buy because it makes them feel better when they feel down. We buy things because of entertainment, because we like things new, because we like things clean. Sometimes it makes us feel powerful. And so we keep buying things that we don't need with the money that we don't have to impress people that we don't even like. And this is this cycle that we just keep doing over and over and over again. Psalm 119 says this: cause my heart to bow before your words of wisdom, and not to the wealth of this world. Help me turn my eyes away from illusions so that I pursue only that which is true. Help me to not just to turn from the illusions, to turn from the meaningless things and pursue only that which is true. To get to the point where we don't need stuff. To get to the point, and that's hard, right? To get to the point where I don't really need those things. I don't really need to buy just to make me feel good. To not rely on that, but to rely on God for those needs. This past year, Jen and I have been talking a lot about just stuff in our house and stuff with our kids. And we've been talking about, you know, really focusing more on less material, more moments. Creating more moments and having less material, more experiences for them and less stuff. And just a little exercise, and my kids, 9, 7, 5, and 2, I asked my 3 older ones, I said, hey, when you think about your memories that you have, what are some of your favorite memories with Dad, you know, that we've experienced? And my 2 girls said, they said, when you take us out on dates. Lena Jo says, I remember when you pushed me on the swing way high. My son said, you know, skiing, I love when we're in the car singing songs. And then he told me this yesterday. He said, I remember when me and you were driving around and we stopped at Schoolcraft and prayed of, is this the place where we should start Mile City Church? I was like, dang, son, where did that come from? You know, it was nice. But not one of them said, my video game, my little pony or my doll. It had nothing to do with the stuff. It was all about the moments. It was all about the experiences, not the stuff. How do we live a one-handful life instead of a two-handful life of more and more stuff? We throw out and we buy less. Lastly, we got to give more. We got to be willing to give more, to let go and give more. In 1 Timothy, it says this in chapter 6, verse 17. It says, command those who are rich. And I just want to remind you, and I talked about this last week. If you missed it, you can go back. But the who are the rich. The who is you. The who is me. If you drove a car here today, you are in the richest 5 to 7% of in the globe. You are that rich. If you have a smartphone, you have the ability to order food on your phone. You are like one of the crazy rich in the globe. We are so rich. And so this is speaking to us. So let it sink in. Let it internalize. Let this just stick and apply it with everything into our lives. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in their wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Again, not bad to have nice stuff, not bad to have nice things, but don't let the stuff own you. It continues. And so it says this. It says, command them to. Does it say command them to, well, if they have stuff, to keep on buying more, keep hoarding more, and once they fill up their house, then rent a storage unit so you can fill up that one and that one and that one? That's not what he says. He says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life, that they would take hold of the life that is truly, truly life. I started thinking about this. I started thinking about stuff. And I started to think about how no stuff in my life has ever made me feel close to God. Like, I don't have any emotional, spiritual moments of me getting things for myself. Like, I don't have, I got that Abercrombie shirt, and when I put it on, I just felt the covering of the Holy Spirit over me, praise God. Or when I got the new iPhone, oh, praise Jesus, the connection I felt with Him when I got my iPhone. Or when I got in my car and it had the heated seats, and when I pressed the button, the warmth of His presence just came all over me. Praise Jesus. I don't have any like getting spiritually connected stories with my stuff. Or I was thinking, I don't have any spiritually getting close to God keeping stories. I don't have any of those stories either of, oh my goodness, I was almost about to give an end of a year extra mile gift, but then I decided to keep it so I could upgrade my computer, even though I didn't need a new computer, but I just needed to upgrade. Praise Jesus. I feel so close to you. Or we just bought a new refrigerator, and instead of giving it to our neighbor who we know who really needed it, or a widow who we know who really needed it, we just kept it in our garage. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't have any of those keeping stories that make me closer to God. I'm joking, but it's kind of real. I don't. But you know what I do have? I have some emotional giving stories. I have some emotional, spiritual giving stories that makes me feel closer to God. I'll never forget the first time. I told you last week how ever since I was a kid, gave 10% to the church over and over. And I'll never forget in college where I started to make some more money. I owned a landscaping company, and I was starting to do good. And I'll never forget the first time where it got to the point where that 10% for the month meant writing a check for $1,000. First time I ever did that. And I'll never forget, I was sitting in that church, and the buckets came by, and I'm like, scared? I don't want to know if I really want to do this. This feels like I could use this. And when I put that in, the feeling of trust and faith that I was giving to God what's rightfully back to His was just, I'll never forget that moment. I'll never forget when we started this church and Jen and I gave the biggest gift that we've ever given before, and it was kind of scary. It was like, are we really going to do this? And all right, let's put it all on the line to help build His kingdom. I'll never forget the many times where Jen and I have said no for something for ourselves to say yes to someone in need. And some anonymously, some we just gave to them to bless them and helping people that were in need and really needed that thing. And oh, it's awesome. It's awesome. Better. Say that with me. Better. Better is one hand that is filled. Better is just one hand that is filled with contentment that is filled with trust, that is filled with joy, that is filled with margin, that is filled with assurance, confidence, peace, the ability to be generous than two hands that toil. More. Me. Stuff. 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 What if we allowed this question to just end our year and start our new year? What if we had this question just consuming us? Are you accumulating on earth what you cannot keep? Or are you investing in heaven what you cannot lose? What a question, right? I got to keep asking myself this. As I evaluate a month and where everything is going and everything that I have, are you accumulating on earth what you cannot keep? Or are you investing in heaven what you cannot lose? May we be people that travel light, throw out, buy less, give more. Throw out, buy less, give more. Your life is way too valuable. Your calling is way too great. Your God is way too amazing for you to waste your life on stuff that's just going to burn up. Why is one handful living better? When you're living a one handful life, it frees you. When you just have one handful instead of two, it allows you to help pick someone up when someone's down, because you're freer. It allows you to take and give to others, to benefit others, because you're freer. It allows you to encourage someone because you're freer. It allows you to worship God even more and greater because you're freer. Better is one handful. I want you to repeat this with me as we close. Let's put this up. Next slide. Go back to the verse right here. Repeat after me. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Next, it's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for all that you've given us. You've given us so, so much. Help us to be people that are one handful type people that are living in that way. To have the strength when it's hard to throw out, to buy less, and to trust you, to let go, and to give more. As we continue to pray, for those of you in this room, maybe you would just say, you know what, that's what I want. I'm so tired of being bogged down by stuff and the junk. And this year, as I end this year, and as I head into 2020, I want to strive to live a one handful life. If that's you, would you just raise your hand so I can just celebrate with you and just pray with you? That's me. I want to live a one handful life. Amen. People all over. I want to live a one handful life. Father, it's so hard to get wrapped up into the weight of stuff that's all around us. God, protect us. Help us to have an eternal mindset as we walk through this earth. As we compare to other people and what other people have, that wouldn't consume us, that wouldn't weigh us down, but that we would be people that'd be different and live one handful type lives. As we continue to pray, maybe there's some of you in this room, you're hearing this, you're hearing this idea of you know, minimalizing some things in your life, but you've walked in here maybe for the first time, you've been coming for a while, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, when it comes to my purpose, you've been saying, like, you have a great calling, and maybe you have this void in your life, if you're honest. And you've tried to fill it with stuff. You've tried to fill it with people. And it just doesn't work. And it just still leaves you empty. And if you're honest, deep down you're searching, there's got to be more, there's got to be more, there's got to be more. And maybe this is the only thing, the only reason why you've come today is to hear this. There is something more. There is something greater. And his name is Jesus. God loves you so much. God loves you so much for who you are. He knows every detail of your life. And 2,000 years ago, he loved you so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die for us, to die for you, and then he rose again. Why? Because you have been disobedient to God, just like I've been disobedient to God, and continue to still be disobedient to God. And that's a problem. But God sent his son Jesus to fix it. And so it tells us that if we believe and put our faith in him, that all of our disobedience, all of our mess, all of our sin is completely erased forever. It's gone. And guess what? No matter how good you are, no matter how much stuff you have, no matter how much money you have, nothing can erase it except for that. And he's the one that will truly satisfy you. He's the one that will bring you fulfillment, that brings completeness, that will bring fullness to your life. And so maybe you just be real. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if you just say, Travis, you know what? I walked in here today and that's me. I'm done chasing stuff. I'm done chasing the world of trying to satisfy my life. I want Jesus to satisfy my life. Today's the day where I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. If that's you, I'm not going to call you out or embarrass you, but I just want to pray for you. If that's you, would you just raise your hand and just say, Travis, that's me. I want Jesus to be the king of my life. I don't want stuff to satisfy. Amen. Amen. I see you there. Amen. Anyone else? Just say, I want Jesus to be the great satisfier of my life. For those of you who truly want that for your life, I want to lead you through a prayer. You can just say this in the quietness of your heart. Just say, Father, here I am. I'm done chasing the world. I'm chasing you. I'm making you the king of my life. Forgive me for my disobedience. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for rising again for me. I'm calling on you to be my savior. I'm making you the king of my life. As we continue to pray, if you truly meant that, the scriptures tell us that your life starts now and it lasts forever and nothing can take that away from you. And now, true satisfaction, if you lean into him, that's where you can find your fulfillment, is in your Savior, Jesus. Father, thank you so much for who you are, for being so generous, for being so giving, for letting go of so much so that we could have so much. We're indebted to you. We're grateful for you. We pray this in the power of your son's name, Jesus. Amen.